This is Roger Molina on Creative Disturbance. I'm delighted today to be with Amara Bakshi, who is located somewhere in the United States at the moment. You'll tell us. So, Amara, tell us about yourself a little bit.
Well, I'm located right now in Washington, D.C., where I was born and raised. I'm an artist, and my work focuses on creating unexpected encounters between people by making bi-directional encounters. I can get into what that means a little bit more as we go, but the main project I'm working on now is called Portals, and it's these identical interior rooms where when you enter one, you feel as if you are in the same room as someone in another identical space. We call them portals. The space we use are these shipping containers that we paint gold, and strangers enter for 20 minutes at a time and talk to someone in the other portal about something simple, like what would make today a good day for you. And it's full body, you make eye contact, you move around the space. And we've placed them now in a number of countries, in Iran, Cuba, U.S., Afghanistan, and we're adding many more over the next few months.
You mentioned, I think, as we were chatting to get ready for this, that in fact you're also very interested in the law and diplomacy. And so tell us a little bit about where that interest comes from.
Well, I was born and raised in D.C., and I grew up as an Indian immigrant kid. My parents wanted nothing to do with India. I went to a school here where I tried very hard to fit in. In all of this, what that basically meant is I never found a great degree of naturalness in the constructed identities I saw around me. So anyway, fast forwarding, as I went through life, I was very interested in foreign affairs. I worked at the Washington Post as a journalist and then at the State Department. But in all of these domains, I missed the opportunity to encounter someone for no particular purpose. I found that in a lot of the roles I was in, whether it was a reporter for the Washington Post or when I was at CNN, you know, the discussion is around headlines, but I always found myself more interested in, you know, what's life like for a normal guy sitting in Tehran? What's life like in Iraq? And at the State Department and a lot of these media institutions, those kinds of one-on-one encounters, stories, don't have a natural place. They don't distill to data that gets in the Situation Room. They don't become topics of debate very often. So art for me was a different domain, a different structure where there wasn't an instrumental end to the process of it. It wasn't like I was trying to get page views when I set up portals or thought it through. It was about creating a space for a type of encounter that's increasingly rare. And it's an encounter where two people enter it without a predetermined purpose, meaning it could be any of a range of purposes. And that's, I think, where the power of this idea comes in and where its relationship to the digital world is very important as well.
Okay, so let me just connect with your discussion a little bit. So indeed, as you know, one of the things I'm doing here in Dallas is we've set up an art and science lab. We have this one project going where we have neurobiologists working with musicians, with visual artists, computer scientists. I'm an astrophysicist, and then there's an art historian in the project too. And, you know, one of the things that's really interesting in these collaborations is that indeed, you know, each of one of these people is sort of wearing a certain professional hat, where indeed, you know, they had, you know, mentally they're going in a certain direction. It's true, I think, that often the artists are much more flexible in terms of redirecting where things might be going. So, you know, clearly the neurobiologist is quite single-minded about making scientific discoveries. But indeed, the artist, in the nature of their creative work and the way they collaborate, you hit an obstacle and maybe the project will just go off in a different direction. And so indeed, you know, obviously in the law and diplomacy, you've got a very clear goal.
Right.
And these other things might be viewed as distractions or, but in fact, sometimes those can then really be interesting things that come out of those collaborations. And so in this case, the bidirectionality is not in virtual spaces between two physical locations, but actually between people with quite different professional vocations and objectives. I don't know if that resonates with you.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, the artist exists in a space where his goal is the thing that he debates or she debates. The goal, there is no goal. The goal is what I debate. There's an indeterminate foundation to the pursuit of art, and the artist acquires authority through his own or her own charisma or the appeal of the work. It's almost like a politician in the ideal sense who says, this is who we strive to be. This is the world we strive to make. Now, the politician also has indeterminate foundations. The very ground he stands on or she stands on is ground that he or she debates and seeks to change. That's very different than the law, at least in most cases, certainly science, where there is some external benchmark that one can gauge something against. So when you value art, you can say it helps be creative about how the instrumental person gets from point A to point B, how the lawyer litigates a case or the scientist reaches some sort of new discovery. Or you could say it is that space in human existence where we are, and in human existence as we've constructed it sociologically now, where we are free, we are given the space, the license to debate the very values and meaning of the experience, of the encounter. So with portals, what's very important is because it's understood as a work of art, people don't enter it like they would if they thought of it as a public diplomacy project or a Google project or a dating project. They enter it with this space that is what I would call purposeless or deinstrumentalized, or, you know, you're not sure exactly why you're going in. And that opens up the possibility for the two people to create their own meaning, to create their own encounter. And that's ultimately what our political life is about. That's how we determine where we seek to go. And instead of similar to the artist, it's not, there's no rubric for how you do it.
Well, I think one of the things you were involved in was a conference between the art and the law. Is that right?
I organized a conference this February called The Legal Medium about how artists use law as material. And it really sought to understand with greater clarity the whole range of contemporary art practices where, for example, you know, Tanya Bruguera will advocate for immigrant rights as part of an extended performance piece, or Mary Ellen Carroll will partner with a university, I believe it was Rice, to try to get super Wi-Fi in New Orleans, or Theaster Gates will redevelop a whole city as part of his work. So what does that mean? What are they using? Well, they'll say they're using policy and law as a material. And then the question becomes, well, how do we understand that? And so this conference laid out a number of different ways we could think about how an artist engages law. As you know, we could think of it like a sculptor. You know, he breaks it, he molds it, she bends it.
I have an example for you. There's a French artist called Monsieur Mou. He's actually from Slovenia, I think. But he got really interested in cloud seeding to make rain. And so he actually reenacted the first cloud seeding experiment that happened in Canada, I think, 75 years ago. He had huge trouble getting permission as an artist to do this.
Right.
But then he got really interested in the fact that, in fact, current law doesn't protect clouds. So if the Israelis make a cloud rain in Israel before the cloud goes into Palestine, there's no law that keeps you from doing that. And similarly between the U.S. and Canada, you know, with global warming, you know, right. People may try and make it rain on their side of the border. And it turns out that none of the environmental laws protect clouds. And so he was working with a legal expert and they got just really interested. He managed to actually reenact some of the cloud seeding finally. But indeed, he ended up engaging with this kind of legal no man's land. Right. Now, you know, I don't know if there's a real legal issue there, but it was just really interesting seeing him do his performances. And obviously, he, you know, to get the permission to do the cloud seeding, he had to get authorizations and so on. So, you know, there's a very specific example.
That's right. And, you know, recently, you know, Richard Prince on, you know, have actively opened up and challenged areas of law by just copying someone else and selling it, for example. So, and now there's a lot of artwork around drones. I mean, drones are really unregulated or underregulated. And there's really interesting artwork that's pushing, that law is chasing to follow. What's really interesting about these new artistic practices is it's very hard to distinguish the activist from the artist. So it all comes down to the claim the artist makes that what he or she is doing in art, and the broader recognition that that's what he or she is doing. And then the law is in this very uncomfortable place where it has to sometimes validate the artist's claim or not, and come up with a principled reason for doing so, when in fact these are very much charismatic claims. It's very hard to make principled distinctions. So it's a very interesting area, and fundamentally, you know, one that might not be reconcilable.
I was at a workshop about a month ago in France, organized by a friend of mine, Claudine Dussolier, and a professor, Gilles Suzanne. They're setting up an observatory, a Mediterranean observatory on the arts and social change.
Mm.
And it was really interesting. At the meeting, there were people from Algeria, Morocco, Lebanon, France. The whole area of socially engaged art, it's really interesting to see how it's changing. Now, I mean, it turns out in those countries, state culture is essentially irrelevant. And so, indeed, there are all these artistic practices that are developing. In the one case, the guy from Morocco is working with people in every region of Morocco. Mm. And clearly, one can imagine how, you know, these are really grassroots activities. They're neighborhood scale. And so this is not state culture, that's for sure. And so networking these people together is clearly a really interesting thing. And clearly, there are very deep issues that come up about what values are embodied in artistic expression. And obviously, particularly in North Africa at the moment, there is very deep discussions about various ways that culture is expressed. So it's just really interesting to see these socially engaged practices, which have always existed in the artwork world, really being reinvented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, reinvented, and increasingly understood with greater and understood differently. That's one of the things that I think is exciting about the legal medium and this whole process of thinking about how artists engage institutions.
Yeah.
And how it's not like you paint in isolation and it goes up on the wall of the museum and those are two separate acts.
Yeah.
They're interrelated. And I think that's something that a lot of these institutions don't, at least in the past, didn't love to hear. You know, we are like science. You know, we know what good art is. And of course, that assertion is political. And what they've succeeded in doing, these art world institutions, is making art mean having one definition of art be similar around the world, in Afghanistan, Iran, Honduras.
Okay, Amar, I'm going to have to cut you off in about a minute. But indeed, I think the point you're making about the diversity of artistic practice is a really good one. So we have a minute to wrap up. You want to just leave us with a final thought?
There are incredible artistic practices that are taking place all over the world. I love that it's bottom up, and in many ways it's any artistic practice is political, and so that's at the end of the day that's always been true and will always be true.
Okay, very good. Well, I look forward to continuing this conversation. Delighted to meet you in a bi-directional interaction here.
Exactly right.
And let's stay in touch.